WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road soon. I've got dates, including Acostas, and we have a makeup for Fadley's, and we're going to be going to a bunch of new places into the spring and into the summer. Tons of new places. We had a great time at Drug City, though. I got to tell you, Mr. Stadium was awesome. We sang Sentimental Journey, had some friends, and gave away some instant lottery scratchers. They look old school because they are. It's 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. I also had these really cool, gigantic $50, $5 million scratch-offs now. This is just a sample, but I have one, and it's cool, and it's big. They also sell these Acostas and at Drug City in Dundalk and at Purveyor's. I got a guy here. It's sadly never been to Drug City or to the fountain or to the tasting room upstairs, but we may be looking to change that. I'm going to try to drag him over to Perryville and Barstool Sports on Thursday for the Terps, getting down with the West Virginia Mountaineers as we go east playing the West Virginia team. Come on out and join us on Thursday for all the fun. Luke Jones joins us now. We're Lamar'd out, even though we may be getting closer to a solution there. We're tampered out, and the real free agency will begin, but the Ravens might not be so active. We've got St. Patrick's Day festivities. I've got brackets, and they're playing hockey in the NBA, too, and there's, like, golf on the way. There's things happening. I even reached the Dick Girardi this week to talk about horse racing. Somewhere in there, they're going to play baseball in 2 weeks, Luke, and they've got this little – worldwide tournament going, and I saw the Venezuela jersey. I almost busted out my Venezuela jersey for you today. Maybe I should do that. Baseball's trying. I mean, they're in there somewhere. I mean, John Angelos is giving BP to Wes Moore. I saw that last week in Sarasota. It didn't slip by me.
Yeah, I mean, we're, what, a little over 2 weeks out from opening day. Ready or not, here we come. And it's certainly a different dynamic when you have the World Baseball Classic going on, which, by the way, I very much enjoy. I enjoyed it several years back with Adam Jones making the big play in San Diego and robbing Manny Machado, you know, teammates who wouldn't be teammates too much longer after that. But it's fun, but it does make for a different kind of spring training where you're seeing Dean Kramer pitch really well for Team Israel. You're seeing Anthony Santander, as you mentioned, hitting bombs for Venezuela. I mean, lots of enthusiasm. There's always the unsettling feeling, I think, especially for pitchers, you know, for teams watching their pitchers go pitch highly competitive. You know, I'm not saying it's the World Series, but you watch those games, these guys care. I mean, they care.
Dude, Adam Jones came into camp all amped up back in the day, remember?
Right, exactly. So even just take a couple hours and watch some of these games. I mean, they care, and the atmosphere is fun, and, you know, but at the same time that you have executives, you have managers, you have coaching staffs who are, you know, kind of holding their breath a little bit, right? You don't want anyone to get hurt. In fact, I saw in one of the Venezuela games, Santander make a diving catch in right field, and you're kind of bracing yourself like, hey, make sure you don't hurt your shoulder there or anything.
He wouldn't have been playing it like that in Plant City.
Yeah. Or Sarasota, you know, the Sarasota, certainly. So, you know, but it's fun. It does make for a different kind of spring training, though, because you're still playing Grapefruit League games, and you're still monitoring that as much as you can without the games being on Masson, certainly, which is part of the discussion every time, or this time of year, every year.
Hey, hold on. This is where I interrupt you, and I remind you, incompetence never takes a day off.
Yeah. That is true. But I think, to your point, there's plenty going on, but yeah, we're counting down to opening day, and I think there is – even though there's a lot of other things going on, there is enthusiasm for the Orioles. Is it as much as it could have been with the better offseason and all that? You know, we've already talked about that. We'll continue to talk about those dynamics and the big picture. But in the meantime, there are a lot of Orioles fans excited about Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, and seeing Dean Kramer do what he did for Team Israel, and seeing Santander do what he has done for Venezuela. But Cedric Mullins playing for Team USA. So, but I think, you know, there's a sense, especially if this team can get off to a good start. And of course, they open on the road at Boston, go to Texas before they come home to play the Yankees for the home opener. They can get off to a good start. I think you'll see some enthusiasm here that I'm not going to say that they're going to pack the ballpark overnight, but I think there'll be some buzz that we haven't seen here for several years. So that's fun. And in the meantime, you're just kind of hoping that no news is good news, right? It's for the most part been a pretty uneventful spring training, and that's a good thing. You don't want to guys going for MRIs on their elbow and things of that nature. So you're trying to avoid that. But, other than Dylan Tate, which was the news we found out at the beginning of spring training, knowing he wouldn't be ready for the start of the season, other than updates on John Means, who's throwing off a half mound and starting to ramp back up with thoughts of hopefully being back by, say, July. Other than that, it's been pretty uneventful for the Orioles as they're going through spring activities down in Sarasota.
Luke Jones is here. He is all things, football, Lamar, football, a little bit of Terps, a little bit of Orioles, but a lot of Lamar. But in this particular case, I want to talk some baseball because I do have a Venezuela jersey. My brother lives in the Orlando area and went to games during one of the tournaments. Maybe not. I went to the tournament in 2009. I was out on the West Coast for the owners' meetings. I think they were in Dana Point at the time, if I'm not mistaken. And I went up to L.A., and in Dodger Stadium, I saw Japan play the United States in a bit of a knockout game. I'm trying to actually find the actual game. Here it is right here. March 22nd, 2009. It was Japan and USA. It was a knockout game. It was a semifinal game. There were 43,630 people there, which I think they considered that a sellout, maybe, in what they were trying to do. But it was the most electric thing, dude. I had seats behind home plate at Dodger Stadium, and the Japanese fans came with red dots on their head, banging bangers, Dice K pitched, Ichiro played. Jeremy Guthrie pitched for the – no, did he pitch that game? Hold on. I mean, Brian Roberts was on the team. I can't – like, but Davey Johnson was the manager. So, like, it was as exciting a game. And I've been to Dodger Stadium for big games, playoff games. I love Dodger Stadium. I think it's my favorite stadium, and I've been to them all except Atlanta. Now that Wes Moore's been everywhere, he can go to Atlanta. I know he's been down to Atlanta, too, to see that. So he's been somewhere I haven't been. But – I would say for the tournament, if you go to it and you're a part of it and you're there, those games at Petco years ago, there, it's fun. And it's March baseball that's fun. And I'll say this. You've been to Sarasota. I've been to St. Petersburg for 30 years ago and all the games. And I liked Fort Lauderdale for what it was, for drinking and beaching. And I was in my early 30s and 20s and whatnot. But spring training baseball, there's no there. You get there, there's a suntan, there's an iced tea and a lemonade. There's no there. There's a there with the WBC. And as it ramps up and as the players go, and to your point, everybody's nervous about it. I don't know, but it's better in March when it's going on, although it's kind of lost on me a little bit with all the Lamar and the basketball and other things happening, even the Oscars the other night, right? Other things that are happening. And the Lamar situation here sort of mars it a little bit from a, do I have 3 hours to watch Venezuela play whomever, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing about the Lamar situation, I mean, other than turning on NFL Network, there's nothing to watch.
There's no there.
Right? So I think in some ways it's a pleasant distraction. Yeah, it's a pleasant distraction in that way. But, I mean, here's a very simplistic example to support what you just said. I went over to my brother-in-law's house on Saturday night, and we watched the United States against Great Britain, which, by the way, if you've seen the Great Britain jerseys, hilarious, right? I mean, it really feels like, wait a second, Great Britain's in this tournament. We need uniforms for them because it's just plain block letters, Greg. Great Britain, I think, what a Arial font, sans serif or
that's
whatever.
That's the way they do things over there. They do
hilarious.
Them proper. They do them proper.
But we watched that game and we watched Venezuela against the Dominican Republic. We would not have been watching spring training baseball on a Saturday evening, and he's a Monster Phillies fan and I cover the Orioles, but we just wouldn't have been watching spring training baseball, but we were watching the WBC. So it's fun. I've said this before when we've talked about past instances of the WBC. I love the atmosphere. I love the enthusiasm. Rather than having these overdone conversations about showing up pitchers and the unwritten rules and all the different things we talk about with Major League Baseball. You just see the enthusiasm. You see, you know, the electricity, not just from the fans, but the players. Again, tell these guys that it's an exhibition in March, and you know, it doesn't look that way. They're playing hard. You know, I'm not going to say it's the World Series, but it's more than Grapefruit League. It's more than regular season Major League Baseball. That's for sure. So, you know, it's fun. And, you know, especially when you look at these rosters, what was funny was looking at the Venezuela team, which, you know, I've had a chance to watch them a little bit, you know, with Santander playing. But you look at their lineup top to bottom, and the talent there really does speak to how many, you know, not just major leaguers that are of Venezuelan descent, but high impact, really good major leaguers, great major leaguers. And it's fun to see that because, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, I can think back to what Melvin Mora and Bobby Abreu were at the same All-Star game. And I think Abreu might've been the year he won the home run derby, or he was runner up, something like that. I can't remember. But you know, you kind of look at some of these countries that the representation that has grown, and you know, it reminds you of just how international the game really is. So, I mean, it's fun. I mean, yeah, some of these teams, like you look at a Great Britain. I mean, it was hilarious. Vance Worley was starting for them, who hasn't pitched in the majors since what, 2017, pitched in 16, the last time the Orioles were any good. But
he's having fun.
You know, so you see some of that. Yeah, you see some of that in some of these countries that clearly don't have the same talent level, but you know, some of these teams, like, you know, I mean, the Dominican goes without saying, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, the United States, you know, Japan is loaded. I mean, you see some of the talent levels of some of these countries, and it does remind you just how cool the game actually is. As much as we talk about Major League Baseball shortcomings, and, you know, now we're going to be talking so much about the pitch clock and, you know, banning the shift and all the different things that have been talked about, and we have seen shorter games this spring, but there's still something to be said about, you know, seeing this kind of international tournament going on, albeit in March and albeit some risk involved for some of these major leaguers, but it's fun. It really is fun. And regardless of what the ratings are and the fact that they're competing with, you know, March Madness and everything else going on that you mentioned, it is a lot of fun to take a few hours and, you know, take in a game or two and really seeing what it's all about. And again, the atmosphere, where some of these games have been played, it's been second to none.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there opening day in Boston and then back here. And we're clearing space and hoping for better weather. And update me just on Orioles starting pitching. What are we – and starting pitching is different now. It's different than the way we've talked about it for 50 years to some degree, even in regard to wagering on it up at Barstool Sports at Hollywood Casino on Thursday and saying we're betting on pitchers for baseball. But just where the team and the construction of the team would be, because as much as we're in Lamar mode and the offseason and tampering and the NFL, the Orioles didn't make enough of a splash about any of that. In the way that all these NFL teams are making splashes this week, whether you're the Panthers dealing for a one or whether you're the Rams dealing out Jalen Ramsey and the Dolphins, like all of these things, the Saints signing players, football is going to dominate all of that to some degree. But the baseball thing, they missed out on all of this. But if I'm just getting into the soap opera, where's John Means? Like I have question marks because he was all we talked about a year ago right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's still recovering from Tommy John surgery. He's back and he's throwing and going through that progression. He recently threw off what I guess a half mound kind of scenario. Sounds like July for him. You know, I think that's probably realistic. You know, is there a best case scenario that maybe the end of June or something like that? Sure, but July, I think second half of the season you're looking at more for.
I don't
think
we've said his name in 6 months on these airwaves, right? Have we?
Well, sure. I mean. But that's the reality. When you have Tommy John surgery, go away. I mean, even a best case scenario for a timetable is what, 10 months maybe? I mean, that's on the shortest of the short end of a range. You know, it's usually in that 12 to 14
months. John Means range. Could be giving him innings in August in a pennant race.
Sure. No question about it. And I think as much as you mentioned it, and look, I've written about this at BaltimorePositive.com. I would have liked to have seen the Orioles done more this offseason, but as you mentioned, you can make a splash. That doesn't always mean it's going to be a good splash, right? It can be some ill-conceived, some ill-fated kind of moves that you ultimately make. But what the Orioles did do this offseason, they bring in Kyle Gibson, they trade for Cole Irvin, and they've raised their floor, of their starting rotation. Those are two guys who have logged a lot of innings in the major leagues. Gibson for a long, long time, being someone who's in his mid-30s, and Cole Irvin, who's 29, he's not young, but he's been, he hasn't been around a long time, but logged a lot of innings for the A's the last couple of years. So you have those two. Those are your two rotation locks in terms of veterans. Grayson Rodriguez, all indications are he's going to be in the rotation to start the season, we think. The velocity's been really good. He's healthy. He got, gave up a couple runs the other day in Sarasota. I think it was in Sarasota. It may have been on the road. But, velocity's good. Looks like he's healthy. I expect him to be in the rotation. Kyle Bradish has had a good spring. I don't put a lot into spring numbers, but you're kind of looking at the guys you're expecting. Dean Kramer, we've already mentioned, who's pitching for Team Israel right now. But I think that's going to be your starting five. I think Tyler Wells is still in the conversation, whether do you end up piggybacking him with one of those other starters I just mentioned? Does he settle into a relief role, as we saw him in as a Rule 5 pitcher a couple years ago? I think the rest of the names you talk about, like, a Mike Ballman, a Bruce Zimmerman, to me, those are the guys that were always kind of long shots to be in the rotation, and I think it's going to play out that way. Do any of those guys find a way to the bullpen, or are they starting to trip away? You have the two veterans. They're going to kind of anchor things for you from an inning standpoint. Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish, to me, are your real ceiling guys, guys that, and Kramer, probably to a lesser degree for him, but certainly he pitched very well last year. And I think the question for right now, he's not going to be in the opening day rotation, but what do they do with DL Hall? He did have a little bit of a health issue with, a lower back issue earlier this year. He's back throwing and, building up his pitch count and all of that. But the big question for him all along has been, what do you do with him if he's not one of your starting five going north? To me, I'm of the thought of, I certainly don't want to shorten up DL Hall in April and May and June with the assumption that your starting rotation is going to go through some challenges, right? Guys are going to get hurt. Someone's going to be ineffective. All the things, you need more than five starting pitchers. We know that. And that's even with John Means rejoining them at some point in time later in the season. So for my money, what I do with DL Hall is I send them back to AAA and I continue to have him develop as a starter there, because if I'm going to shorten him up and put him in the bullpen, I'm really not looking at that as an option until August, August and September, kind of how the Orioles treated Kevin Gausman in late 2014. Remember, he was in their bullpen in the postseason. So, I think that's kind of been the big question as far as what happens with him. Tyler Wells to a lesser extent, but the nice thing, everything I just spelled out, don't get me wrong, not saying that rotation is the best in the AL East or anything by a long shot, but it is a rotation that has more options to it than we've been talking about. A year ago at this time, we were talking a lot about Bruce Zimmerman, right? It was kind of assumed he was going to be in the rotation. He's on the outside looking in at this point. And part of that's he had a rough 2022. There's no question about that. But it also speaks to the Orioles do have more options now, and they do have more viability among those options. It's not just guys that are kind of by default being in the mix. Now it's more a case of, who exactly is going to emerge and be the best fit. So, I think that's fun. That's encouraging. Would I have liked to have seen them add a top half of the rotation starter with a little more upside than Kyle Gibson or Cole Irvin? Absolutely. But where they stand right now, and this is probably always going to be the case, it was always going to come back to Grayson Rodriguez. The last year or two has been widely regarded as the top pitching prospect in baseball. Well, see what he looks like. He's healthy. See what he looks like in the major leagues. So
if he turns into that at the big league level, they'll be really good.
I mean, those couple veterans that I mentioned, if they can continue to give you innings and be workhorses for you, because you do have some young pitchers here that you're going to have to be mindful of their innings. Not to say that they're going to be on a hard restriction, but you have to be mindful of it at the very least. But if Grayson Rodriguez can be as advertised and Kyle Bradish can pitch like he pitched over the second half of last season and Dean Kramer can do what he did for the most for most of last season, then you've got the makings of a rotation that looks a lot better than it's been.
Hey, man, 20 months ago, I remember you and I were like, who's going to pitch? Where are they? Where are they going to Bowie tonight? Are they going to make some deal? Are they going to claim some jack wagon with a 9 ERA off of waiver? I mean, like, there was all of that going on. And they weren't even doing that because they weren't really trying to win. But they're trying to win now. And I would think that they're not going to have to do that. Part of winning is we're not going to have to sit here and say, oh, they're going to have to start that guy. And that guy might be Bruce Zimmerman. But if they're starting Bruce Zimmerman, it might be because he's 6-3 with a 3.80 ERA in Norfolk and is trending like he deserves a start. Not like, oh, my God, he's getting his head beaten in Durham. And we got to go have him pitch for us, because that's what happened. But that's what non-contending, the teams that aren't trying, that's what they do, right? But this is, we've now allegedly moved to a point where we're a team trying, not trying anymore. And that happened quickly.
Yeah. Well, sure. And I mean, as much as we talk about the payroll or lack thereof and all of those, yeah, I mean, this is a team that fancies itself as having a chance to make the playoffs this year. And they absolutely have a chance. It doesn't mean they're going to. Doesn't mean that everything that went well last year will continue. You know, one area where I do look and I take a little bit of pause is the bullpen. As I already mentioned, I mean, Dylan Tate's injured and not going to be ready for the start of the season. And, you know, is guys that you counted on last year, like a Brian Baker, Joey Crable, guys like that, are they going to duplicate what they did a year ago? We know how volatile relief pitching can be. But at the same time, you have other interesting arms in the mix. And you brought back Michael Givens, for example, who can be a seventh and eighth inning guy for you. Felix Bautista, is he going to be even better his second year? Or, you know, you at least assume he'll be as good as he was as a rookie, because, you know, there was nothing fluky about it. He was dominant. You know, it wasn't some guy that, you know, was smoke and mirrors getting hitters out. So, you know, you look at all those factors, but, you know, to bring it back to the rotation, it is a much different mindset. As you mentioned, 2 years ago, there was a question of how are you going to navigate 162 games, right? I mean, that's, how are you going to get through 162 games without having to throw Stevie Wilkerson out on the mound in the ninth inning? I mean, how many times we talked about that punchline? Now, you know, you're in a position where, okay, who are your best five and what's that going to look like? And, you know, are these guys that can give you sub four ERAs and enough innings to keep your bullpen healthy and viable and not be in a position
anymore, right? Like enough innings when we talk about it.
Oh, it's changed. It's changed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different dynamic than it was.
Well, you're going to tax your bullpen more, and your bullpen guys aren't going to be Kevin Hickey coming in and throwing two pitches. Like, that's not what this is. And the pitch count thing, I haven't even started with that with you, but that's, anything it's a firestorm in February always kind of concerns me a little bit, and especially in a game where they've tried to change so many things so many times and have fallen short in so many ways with rules, time. This is their original sin, right? Is trying to get the games moving along. In my lifetime, they've never had a grip on this, right?
You know, well, it's changed a lot. I mean, what's wild about it? And look, I haven't watched a ton of spring training baseball. And what's interesting is the WBC, as we've talked about the World Baseball Classic, they're playing with the 2022 MLB rules. So there is no pitch clock in the WBC. So that's another interesting dynamic, especially for these pitchers and even the hitters, because I think what we've found with some of the early returns are, I think for the most part, most of the pitchers are okay with the pitch clock. I think where there's been some adjusting is a lot of these hitters, you know, the idea of taking a pitch and then you're walking out of the box and doing a semicircle and adjusting your batting gloves and knocking the dirt out of your cleats. And, you know, that's a different dynamic. I mean,
I call that
a
Mike Hargrove. That's what I call it.
Oh, no question about it. But what's interesting is, and part of what the problem is, you mentioned Mike Hargrove and you say that with some affinity, right? Some fondness. The problem is
that wrecked the
Major
game.
League Baseball. No, well, the problem is everyone became Mike Hargrove over time,
right.
and that's where these games have become so slow. So what we're seeing, and again, I'm cautious not to draw too many conclusions here, but we have seen shorter games. We have seen 20, 25, 30 minutes be shaved off the average game time, even looking back at spring training last year compared to this spring. So, you know, I don't think, you know, the games that I've watched, it hasn't felt too rushed, which has been a good thing. I think, you know, even though the clock can be a little distracting from a standpoint of if they put it up on the score bug in the way that Masson did for their first telecast, which I'm not even saying that's a complaint, but, you know, it's different. You know, you're not used to seeing a clock in Major League Baseball. But I think what we found a lot with people who've seen it a lot at the minor league level, and especially this is where the Orioles have a little bit of an advantage because so many of their pitchers are young, right? And they're coming from the minor leagues here over the last year or two, and even some of their hitters. So they've kind of grown up in this environment over the last couple years where this was introduced in minor league baseball. But you know, I think for the most part, I think everyone will get used to it. And yeah, there'll be some violations early on, and we might even see a walk-off win for some team that has a, you know, a pitch clock violation.
We saw that the first week of spring training, and it was
right. And it'll be a big story at that point in time. But I think, and what we found, what was found in minor league ball was early on. Yeah. You found some more violations. I think it was, you know, on average there were two plus. And then I think a couple months in, you were starting to see, I think on average there was about half of a violation per game. You know, that's what you were seeing. So, you know, if, you know, there'll be some awkwardness. And look, I expect old school fans to bristle at some of these things. And I understand that to an extent. But I'll also remind them that the game that you longed for 40 years ago,
it's over,
was not the game that was being played pre-pitch. Well, it wasn't the game being played pre-pitch clock anyway, because it was just so darn slow. So, you know, is there a case where maybe we'll have to find a happy medium at some point? Maybe they'll have to tweak it. And we saw this with all the you know, all the substances for the pitchers, right? We saw them adjust on the fly a couple years ago with that. So if they need to adjust, if they need to tweak this a little bit, I think they have the ability to do that most likely. But I think if we can, if everyone has an open mind about it, I think it's something that could be good for the game. Doesn't mean it's going to fix all their issues, but I think it can be good to pick up the pace a little bit. I think that's good for everyone. And, you know, not even getting into the shift, which, you know, is now, you know, it need to have two infielders on each side of second base and have to be in the dirt. So we're not going to see those exaggerated shifts. So you're seeing it in the WBC right now. So bid farewell to that after that. But, you know, I like that we're seeing some attempts to improve the game. Is everything going to hit? Is everything going to land the way they want it to? Probably not. But I at least, and I don't do this often because there isn't much I applaud Major League Baseball for, but I do at least acknowledge some recognition of, hey, we can't continue to have the game go the way that it's going. It's getting longer and slower, and there's less action involved.
And the attention span of Americans is going the other direction. Yes.
Right. And look, that's going to be a challenge regardless, because baseball is not going to become lacrosse, right? Baseball is not going to become ice hockey or basketball, nor should it, because it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's baseball, right? It's intended to be a slower game. But how slow is too slow? Well, I think we've seen it become way too slow in recent years. So if you have a pitch clock to pick up the pace a little bit, keep a little more of a rhythm for these pitchers, which I think for the most part, I think the pitchers are going to like it. I think it's a little more of a challenge for the hitters, but they'll adjust and then we'll see what it looks like. And ultimately, as I've said to you over and over, for me, it was rarely about the time of game. It was rarely about that. It was more the action within the game. So that's going to be the big question. It's great to pick up the pace, but if you're going to continue to just have more strikeouts and more walks and all of that, it's not going to make, you know, move the needle quite as much. But
I'm still not expecting any bunting or hitting and running, though. I'm not. And I'm not expecting seven-inning starters.
I mean,
there's just things that the genie's not going back in from a
strategy
standpoint, from a contract standpoint, from the way that managers manage and the way teams own and the way they want the game played, the way they want pitchers' arms to not fall off when they invest in them, the way they don't want Buck Showalter to ride Matt Wieters like a rented mule, like all of these things, right, that just go into – the NBA having, you know, I'm going to take the day off. It's a, you know, load management or whatever. Man, there was something. The NBA, I'll hear it, and I, you know, I covered the NBA, so I'm not a stranger to any of this stuff. I've been doing this a long time. If there was ever a load management issue, the baseball thing would – Cal Ripken needed load management.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and you just mentioned it. It's a reminder that all of these sports have changed over time. I mean, my goodness. Those who long for the days of Johnny Unitas, I mean, the sport now, the NFL is not even recognizable compared to what it was then.
Dude, and the look, Orioles were the last one to catch on. The Orioles aren't giving us spring training. Like, we're still dinosaurs here. But, I mean, the Orioles just got, like international players 3 years ago. So, you know, here we're really under a rock. It's Flintstones here, literally.
Yeah, yeah, in certain ways it absolutely is. Well, even talking about the analytics and all the technology that, you know, Elias and the current regime brought in that the club really wasn't using prior to that. So, but the overall point I was making is all of these sports have evolved. All of these sports have changed. Sometimes it happens organically, and sometimes, yes, it is rule changes. We just celebrated watching the 2000 Ravens on the Bullies of Baltimore, ESPN 30 for 30. My goodness. Watch highlights of that team and think how many flags would be thrown today. It is a different game today. And yet the NFL is still the most popular sport in America by an extraordinary margin. So, yes, things are going to change. Nothing stays the same forever. And as much as
I love
baseball.
You can even gamble on it. I don't know if you heard that or not. You can gamble on football now. It's a new thing.
You can gamble on anything. Right, exactly.
How much things have changed. Wow. Right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Think of, you know, we use that example of Tony Romo hosting the party, right? You know, the fantasy football party. And now you're seeing every other ad, every other commercial during a football game.
Rick Neuheisel getting thrown out of sports for having a March Madness pool.
Yeah. Yeah. So things change. Things evolve. And as much as I was someone who was anti having a clock in baseball, and I still am at its core, you know, that the beauty of baseball is that you technically can play forever, right? I mean, there's that possibility of a game going on forever. So, you know, I don't want that to change, but this is a change with the pitch clock that the early return to me has been encouraging. Spring training baseball is not the same as the regular season, which is not the same as postseason. So it will be interesting to see how that looks. And I will be interested to see if they do need to tweak things at some point, whether it's in the middle of the season, an emergency scenario that they didn't think of, or is it a case where they tweak it next offseason? But if we do get quicker games, you know, a little more action, the shift leading to more, we've seen more singles in Grapefruit League games than we've seen in regular season recently, you know, going back to last year. So great. You know, I'm all for ways to make the game better. I know that it's not always popular. I know there's, we all fear change, right? I mean, we're just, that's how we are. That's how we are as human beings. We fear change, but I do think some of the rules and some of the early returns we've seen, well, it's quirky, it's weird, and thinking about some of the step-off rules and you can only throw over the first base twice and all the things that we're all going to be learning as it goes on and reminding ourselves of some of the changes. I do think it has the potential to make the game better. And if we can do that, then that's a good thing because I want baseball as a baseball fan, a lifelong baseball fan, baseball and pro wrestling really being the only things that I've truly loved my entire life from the time I was 2 or 3 years old to the time where I'm almost 40. I want to see baseball continue to thrive and be healthy and succeed for a long time and for many generations to come. So if some of these rules can help on that front, even just a little bit, then I think it's worth it.
Well, The Rock made it to the Oscars the other night, so wrestling's all grown up, and that jacket he had on was fabulous. I gotta tell, shout out to John Maroon, that when I get Cal Ripken on the next time, and Cal and I have discussed the crab cake on several occasions trying to get together, because I've bumped into him. I'm gonna ask him if he would have preferred that night in Pawtucket to just have a base runner on second base in the 10th inning and get the damn thing over with. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's one I still struggle with as far as the ghost runner at second.
Oh, dude, the
I mean, it's not a
softball
ghost.
rules. I can't. That
Yeah,
that's the
it's
stuff we played in Rob Zelius's backyard, was like catching off anything. If you hit the ball into the basket, you got 10 runs. Stupid rules that should
I
not
guess
be
for
made.
me,
Runner on second base is dumb. This college football, give me the ball on the 20-yard line. Bouge on that. I don't like any of that
no,
stuff.
I hear you. I hear you. And I guess for
I
me,
don't like shootouts in soccer, but I've learned to accept them to some degree.
I was accepting of the runner at second. Remember, that was spawned by the pandemic year, and I get it. That was a weird year, all of that. There are a lot of people that like it. Let's be clear about that. And a lot of people who are baseball people who like it.
You know
I
when
guess
you
for
like it?
me,
When it's 10:48 at night and you realize the game will be over by 11:15 and
well,
that you're not
there's,
going to have to call into work or leave a 13th inning game with 1,200 of your friends. I mean, dude, you've been down there for 100 of those
I
games, right?
sure. I guess for me, and take the media out of it, just the fans, because media, we're paid to be there, so I don't want to make it about me. But I think with that scenario, and in the regular season, is there a middle ground that you could wait until the 12th inning to do that, or the 11th inning to do that? Can we play a couple normal extra inning? Because people will say the alternative is, okay, have ties after 12 innings. You have a tie, which I'm totally anti that. I don't want to see ties in
Let's
baseball.
have a home run
So I
derby
don't
at
know.
the
I mean,
end.
it's,
I'm thinking is let's run the bases.
exactly.
Hey, Luke, here, we'll throw the bat. We'll go up the bat. Right?
Right. So I know. And look, with me endorsing some of the rule changes for this year, I don't love every rule. Like I struggle with the shift, as banning the shift from the standpoint of you had teams that were smart enough to track this to realize that it made more sense to do this. And let's not pretend the shift was something new. Teams shifted against Ted Williams way back when, in the World Series, famously. The Cardinals shifted against him in the World Series. So it's not like that was something brand new. It's just it had become so normalized, right? It had become such a, it was baked into the fabric of the modern game. So I struggle with that. But at the same time, I also understand that, the idea of a hot smash up the middle used to be a hit, had been a hit for 100 years in Major League Baseball and suddenly wasn't anymore. I know, there are positives and negatives to these different rule changes. I get that. And there are certain ones that I'm okay with. There are other ones I don't like quite as much. But I guess my best advice is keep an open mind. And I don't mean that for you. I mean that for anyone who is reluctant about this. And we'll see how it plays out. I do think the pitch clock, and even talking to people that have broadcasted at the minor league level, the overwhelming sense I've gotten is you kind of forget about it after a while and you get used to it after a while. And it does lead to a faster paced game in terms of not
Well, the
sitting there
pace gets
waiting.
baked in. It just gets baked in,
Yeah,
literally.
exactly. You get to the point where you kind of forget about the clock. And yeah, every once in a while there'll be a violation. They'll have that. And you hope it doesn't happen at a time where it's a walk-off scenario,
These are
as you
young people. They're pliable. These pitchers and these
exactly.
hitters can get in the box. Umpires will get them in the box. It'll be part of their routine. It should be a part of the way they train and think about the game. I don't. You're saying to me like I'm going to push back. There's a
Oh
lot of
no, I
things
don't.
I'd push back on baseball on trying to get better and actually doing things that makes them better. I don't have any issue with that. My issue over the long course is they've completely screwed the franchise up here. They've screwed the franchises up in a lot of places. They fixed them in some other places where there's been some love and some watering and some care. This hasn't been one of them. And while that's happened, the game sort of disintegrated from an age standpoint, and this market with lacrosse specifically, and how rabid football is here, that even with spring training, they can't get any oxygen in a year when Lamar's Lamar. It's just so troublesome. You know, for me, over a lifetime with baseball, I cheer for them, not against them. You know what I mean? I like full ballparks. I know empty ballparks, there's no justification for anything I did with Free the Birds that makes me look smart. I look plenty freaking smart 17 years later after Free the Birds to smart people. But an empty stadium was never the design of any of this, and it never changed anything here. And I guess that's the sad part. Baseball never did anything. Two commissioners never did anything. The owner, now the creepy owner kid's running around with the governor, and he's going to get a city built. And they don't want him. So all of that as a backdrop, like the shift and pitch clock and getting the games over quicker, they're solving, like, age-old complaints. They even had the designated hitter in the National League fine. Like, yeah. You know, that only started in 72 when I was 4 years old, right? So all my life, dumped the DH and all that. I mean, the World Baseball Classic, we began with that. I don't know if they're ever going to get the Hall of Fame right, or drugs, or, you know, whether Big Poppy cheated and he's in, and Curt Schilling and or Barry Bonds. They're never going to figure that out, right? Not in my lifetime. But, like, whether they can make the game good and get some people interested and get your niece interested in the game and maybe wanting to come and see Adley Rutschman, who's a three-time MVP, and there's been two parades by the time she's 12, maybe you'd want to do that? I'm cheering for them always, but they almost can't get out of their own way in some cases. I don't know that that's been the case with these rule changes. I think they're good, Luke. I'm not being an old guy.
Yeah. And when I said that, as far as I was more speaking to the audience and not you specifically, but the one thing you didn't mention, you mentioned it in passing, but that baseball has to get right across the board, TV. They have to get this right. I mean, you know, when you have the RSN model is falling apart before our eyes, not even talking about mass. And
all they were doing was bragging about how much money they were going to make on BAM. They did that for 15. BAM, 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 BAM. Kids, Luke's, you are a kid. Oh, I got the mobile. I got the app. I got the stats. I can gamble on it. I can, you know, oh, Kenny Ball, I could gamble on every pitch. You know what I mean? Like, all of that's here. And dude, they can't give me Adley Rutschman on a March day to get me lubricated to buy an orange plan. Like, it's, they're just horrible business people. But in this case, they're horrible people that run this place. Like I've watched this, and I don't know what it's like in St. Louis or Boston now that Lucchino's gone, or what the Cubs are doing, or, you know, what Greg Bader they've hired in whatever franchise they have. But I was in Houston, and they're excited there, right? Even about college basketball this week. And then I go to Tampa, and it's like there's no franchise there. So it really is sort of station to station and market to market to some degree. And I was told, and I think you might have been at the table in Boston for a brunch when you were a younger man, by a major executive who said there's silos in the game, and they all go up in different towers, mm-hmm. and nobody talks to anybody. And this RSN thing is, it's almost like all of them are as bad as John Angelos was at managing what was a cash cow here for 15 years. They should have been drinking hundreds of millions of dollars off the top of that.
Well, it just comes down to, I mean, cable and satellite is going away, right? I mean, it's look at DirecTV's numbers, look at, you know, different cables. I mean, all of them are dropping, right? It's all going to streaming. So it's a matter of they have not reacted quickly enough to that. And I don't mean the Orioles. I mean Major League Baseball as an entity and the 30 clubs individually. But everything about this comes back to access, right? You know, whether you were talking about spring training games, whether we're talking about people that are blacked out, and if they, you know, if they don't have one specific way of getting the games on cable or satellite, then they're out of luck in their market and they're blacked out. I mean,
can you imagine my 98-year-old mother being 104 right now and being alive and trying to find the game? Like, literally, like, she would call me every night. Is it on Mass & 1? Is it on Mass & 2? She was confused by that, right? Like, just trying. I don't really know where and when. I really don't.
See, the bigger concern there is not, you know, not someone's mother who's advanced in age, or not you, or even me, as someone who's now in my late 30s. It's the 20-year-old who, you know, the 22-year-old who's right out of college, and they're not getting subscribing to DirecTV, and they're streaming Hulu, take your pick, Netflix, Disney,
my wife's Netflix,
whatever.
Yeah.
And they have no way of accessing Masson that way. And you know what they're saying? All right. And then they're either not watching the games at all, or they're trying to get it pirated on the internet. Either way, it's not healthy for the long-term viability of your franchise, of your sport, when people are restricted to that degree and being able to watch the product. And look, this isn't about making it free, but make it available. You know, have a streaming package a la carte, which is inevitably what all these teams are going to have to do. It's just going to be a matter of how quickly do you do it, and do you do it in a way that makes sense?
They're going to have to get money from every fan directly instead of stealing it from my mother's cable
exactly.
bill. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, do they not have a plan for the depth of that, that this 22-year-old kid's going to give them $12 a month to watch games on TV as like a season ticket without them getting a ticket to go down to the ballpark and a beer thrown in. They're going to have to, they're going to need people way smarter than TJ Brightman to figure out how to put this together. Luke, well, we've meandered, dude. I'll let you finish up on the TV thing because you're even in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a different place. I'm in Baltimore County. The game, if I got cable, I still can click away and get it in the old guy way and find it. Not spring training, but I am confident that I'm going to have 158 games beamed in here if I want them this year, as long as I'm a cable subscriber. And that's kind of what they're counting on, right?
Yeah, and that's been the model for the longest time for Major League Baseball, but also for the NBA and the NHL. And they're dealing with the same thing, trying to figure this thing out. Now, maybe their streaming models are more viable. I know, for example, you can stream NBA League Pass and for a specific team, but there's still the in-market, out-of-market, blackout-type scenarios that you have to jump through hoops. It comes down to a very simple question. If I want to watch, can I watch it? How much will it cost? How easy is it to access it? And, you know, if those questions are complicated or you don't have good answers for those questions, those people aren't watching. And then even more importantly, their kids aren't watching. So again,
well, the movie industry doesn't have any problem with that. I know where to find a movie, right? I know where to find things, right? If I want Springsteen, I know where to find him. I want the Oriole. I mean, I've wanted the Oriole game for 3 weeks. I can't find it.
But
shame
all this is and again, I'm still talking in a big picture sense. And look, I've criticized the Orioles for years about mass and spring training games, but spring training still only has so much of an audience. But the problem is, you get to the regular season and people want to watch, and they don't have a way to easily do it. That's a problem. That's when people tune out forever. There are lots of people who don't pay attention to spring training in the same way that lots of Ravens fans don't pay attention to fake football in August. I mean, you know, so that's an issue. Don't get me wrong. Not showing your spring games, that's an issue. There's no question. But in the big picture sense, knowing where this is going, knowing that there are already RSNs that are on the verge of closing up shop that are even in worse shape than Masson right now, just in terms of what's going to happen in 2023. They've got to get this figured out because it's not going back to the way it was. And to your point, the a la carte subscription model, they're all going to be competing with each other, not having, well, everyone that's subscribed to DirecTV is just going to give you, you know, X, whatever the amount is per month now. You know, that's going away. You know, that's going away much sooner rather than later. So they're going to have to figure it out if they want to stay viable and stay healthy for the long run.
And they're going to have to get the young people used to paying for it. And the old people, me, 10 years from now, reinterested in paying for it. Luke Jones, it's complicated. It's baseball. It's March Madness. It's not nearly as complicated as Lamar Jackson apparently getting signed by an NFL team. So Luke has got his fingers on the button. It's all brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. If you're on the WNST tech service, you'll get it first. I'm wearing my Drug City gear. By the way, Luke, that's a pill, not a peanut. George explained that to me. It looks like Mr. Peanut, but it's actually a pill. Drug City, Dundalk, Maryland. Go check out our Calvin Stadium conversations. They'll make you feel good. They made me feel good as well. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends. I got my floppy hat. I don't need that beer floppy hat. I get a Window Nation floppy hat. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking baseball and Baltimore positive.